Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about having our good friend Steve DelBianco back on the show. Steve is a more than 14-year member of our Brain Trust. That's right. We've already celebrated that anniversary. He is executive director of NetChoice, netchoice.org. And I'll get him to tell you about that organization in a little bit. But one of the things I will tell you, folks, is that all the things that you get to do with very low barrier to entry and very little impediment, no taxes, and it works when you go there, all of that is due to some people who work really hard to keep people from meddling around with it. And one of those champions is Steve DelBianco. He travels literally the world with you in mind when he sits at tables to hold these people back who would like to mess around with the internet. It's one of the reasons why he's our hero. Steve DelBianco, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim, and it is a pleasure trying to help keep the internet safe for small business, and I'm glad to be at your side as we try to do that together.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey Steve, folks, what I want Steve to do today is talk about something that he and I've been talking about on the show for probably almost 10 years, and that's net neutrality. And over the years, I've been talking about it with you, Steve, and as you know, I've often been confused about it. It took a long time for me to kind of finally figure out, because the players kept moving around, and so it's a fairly complicated issue. But Steve, first I want to say the reason I wanted you to talk about it, and the reason I wanted to get this on the table, is because it is front and center in the debate between President Obama and his FCC and the Republicans and the marketplace. And it's going to be part of the debates they're having, including Obamacare and immigration, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm afraid this issue, which could be very important, could wind up becoming a stepchild and get moved through pretty fast. What do you think? Is that a valid concern?
It's worth worrying about. And I have to say that most of us here in Washington were perplexed, amazed, and confused when the president waited until after the election and made his announcement that he wants to impose the old 1934 regulatory structure on today's internet, what we call Title II. We still can't figure out what drove him to do that, because if it was there just to mobilize his base, the populist base, then he would have done it before the election, not 2 days after the election. So I still can't figure out where that's going. But I can tell you this, I'm not sure that Title II, 1934 law, really makes sense for the internet we want for our future.
In the 21st century. I completely agree. But the main thing, the reason I think he used it is because he wants, and he actually said he wants the FCC to make the internet a utility. I think those are his exact words. And he had to go back to 34 to get that authority, I guess, is the only thing I can figure out, Steve.
Yeah, but you know, one of my favorite movies is The Princess Bride. And you might recall one of the greatest segments in there is where the masked man keeps doing amazing things chasing after Vizzini. And Vizzini would say every time he sees the masked man doing something, he'll say, "That's inconceivable," when he climbs a cliff or leaps into the air. And and finally, Inigo turns to Vizzini and says, "Look, you keep using that word inconceivable. I do not think it means what you think it means." And that is exactly what I would like to say to President Obama. I don't think he knows what the words net neutrality or Title II really mean.
Right. But Steve, he does know what utility means.
Well, you tell you what, he can say that, but the words Title II invoke a certain kind of a regime that treats telephone services as a common carrier. Right. And it isn't about the content. It's about prices. Mm-hmm. It's the regulation of prices.
And that's what I think he does understand, Steve.
And yet, the rhetoric is all about trying to preserve a free and open internet, which is really about traffic, not prices.
But Steve, Obamacare was supposed to be about reform, but it never was about reform.
I know. There's a little bit of a misdirection.
You have to watch Obamacare unfolding and disintegrating in front of our eyes, and the lies that are happening around that, what we now know that they lied to us. You have to watch that and put that kind of logic, that kind of thinking, that kind of lack of morals around this net neutrality issue, Steve, don't you?
You know, but listen, on Obamacare, I will at least suggest this. The president had in mind an effort to insure the uninsured, and therefore was willing to justify lots of sleight of hand to get it there.
In
this case, for net neutrality, I can't even figure out what is the overarching grand goal of trying to invoke 1934 law to regulate the internet we have today in the United States.
But Steve, when you realize that he also is prepared to allow the U.S. to not have ultimate control of the internet, he's willing to give that away to an international consortium, probably ultimately the UN. You've been working on that. When you realize that, doesn't this last move tell you that he doesn't really appreciate the power or the value of the internet for American businesses?
Yeah, but the move to release the internet governance was politically driven because, the Snowden revelations put the U.S. in a really tough spot as being sort of the unique custodian and overseer of the internet, and we had to sort of step out of that role sooner than later.
But that was foreign service.
The motivations.
That was foreign policy.
Yes, exactly.
Politics. This is U.S. politics. So back to net neutrality a little bit quickly. Net neutrality is what we've really had for the last 20 years, right?
Yeah. The word net neutrality, I do not think it means what he thinks it means. Really, it just means treat all internet traffic the same. Treat traffic the same. And even that isn't really what we do today. We don't treat spam the same as regular email. Your email provider tries to dump spam into a bucket, and if it knows that spam is coming from a known sender, it doesn't even make it to your junk folder.
Right.
We don't allow stolen music and movies to traverse the net when we can find it.
But that's legal or illegal stuff. But this net neutrality is what it's supposed. What I think it means is that the good stuff. If I send a good movie, and if I want to download a good movie, then it comes to me the same way that an email would come. A good email would come to me, right?
And that's what we have today. You know that over 52% of the traffic, the download traffic on the internet in the United States, is two applications. Netflix and YouTube account for over half of the download. Mm-hmm. And when that happens late in the afternoon when kids are home from school, your internet might slow down a little bit.
And so the carriers want to charge for bigger chunks of data and data that has to go faster. They want to start charging separate for that than they do for other traffic. And that's where the debate is going to happen about net neutrality. We're going to talk about that after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.